shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And off we go to places other talk shows wish they could go to, but they can't. They just simply haven't got it, man. They don't have no gas in their tank. But we do, and tonight we have with us Dave Castorini from Dave Castorini Ministries to discuss with us the vetoing of the gay marriage bill in New Jersey. I realize it is a story that is perhaps particular to New Jersey in the minds of some, but it's a national story. It continues to be a national story, and it... And in this particular case, it's a controversial veto because there, as you know, there are lines being drawn, and people stand at the ready on either side. And what I mean by that to continue to debate this issue. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. We no longer say 876, Phil, because we are told by people that know these things, that spelling stuff out on the phone, people have had it, man. They're just not going to do it anymore. And I don't know whether it's because it's getting more difficult or someone said it's because of the cell phones, Robert.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't have no letter on there.
You know, you said that to me last night. I don't think that's the case. But nonetheless, 877-876-7445. Please join us over at our website, philhenryshow.com. We have a very special event that is taking place now through the beginning of the summer, and that is if you're a Backstage Pass member, we are asking you to compile for us a particular list of best-of cuts, and you'll know what we're talking about if you go to philhenryshow.com and take a look at that. If you're not a BSP member, then please join us and be a part of our... Be one of our archivists, as so many of our listeners are. The story here is of Governor Chris Christie vetoing a newly passed bill. It happened on Friday today that would legalize same-sex marriage in New Jersey, setting a difficult path for advocates who vowed to fight with every last breath, quote-unquote, to override him. The governor's veto was conditional, asking the state legislature to amend the bill so that rather than legalizing same-sex marriages, it would establish an overseer to handle complaints that the state's five-year-old civil union law did not provide gay and lesbian couples the same protections that marriage would. Mr. Christie also affirmed his call for the legislature to put a referendum on same-sex marriage on the ballot in November. That's kind of an interesting thing for him to call for, considering the fact that that's what happened in the state of California and the state Supreme Court. Regardless of the vote of the people, and people seem to understand that. And let me get David Castorini on the line. And David, we've asked you to join us because you are a member of the clergy. You're a man of the cloth. You're a minister, and this seems to be right up your alley. This is really when we talk about opposition to same-sex marriage. We're talking about opposition from centers of religion in this country, aren't we?
Well, Phil, I would have to say you're right. You know, I don't want to be aligned necessarily with people who are troublesome or divisive or making it more difficult for our country to come together on certain things. But this is a very, very pivotal, and it is of grave interest to Christians and people who hold that marriage is very much a union between a man and a woman. We are very concerned that if marriage is sanctioned for gay people, that it becomes sanctioned not only for gay people, but it is looked at by straight people as legitimate. And when we talk about a lifestyle that we do believe is not, in the eyes of God, a holy lifestyle, it is not one that is approved of by God or God's word, not only are we worried, obviously, for our youth, but we also worry for those who are not married. They don't have the comfort of marriage, of a marital union. They are single people, single heterosexual people that we do realize could be at risk. When you look at one of my colleagues, Ted Haggerty, here is a straight man who was led astray by the promise of a gay sex marriage. And as a result of that, he was led into a relationship that brought down not only his marriage, well, not really his marriage, because I know his wife is stuck with him, but it certainly did bring down his ministry, and it brought down to a great degree his ability to be a successful minister and a successful witness to the Word of God.
Dave Castorina with us from Castorina Youth Ministries. Our number is 877-876-7445. Why did Chris Christie then veto this bill? Is it because of the encroaching, as you call it, a lifestyle? And we can have this argument, and I don't want to have the argument. I've had it enough.
Well, I know, Phil. You feel it as an orientation, and I just don't think that the so-called science is in.
All right, no, that's fine. I don't want to talk about that. It's an argument that is it's a tiresome argument, and one that I suppose can be debated in great detail later on. But right now, what we're talking about here, you are saying that the governor vetoed this because, with the sanctioning of same-sex marriage, you have a threat not only to young people but to single people, heterosexual people.
That is correct, yes.
And tell me about that.
Well, I believe that, as I mentioned, Ted Haggerty is a man is, I think, was the most visible individual who had a marriage and had a successful life with within his church, and had certainly successful heterosexual love and marriage with his wife, and as a father, was led into this corrupted lifestyle by the promise of a same-sex marriage.
Now, see, I find that interesting. What do you mean the promise of same-sex marriage?
The idea of same-sex marriage, I think, for straight men or heterosexual men is, especially if a man is alone, if he spends many hours of the day alone, if he spends many hours of the week alone, if he is if his job takes him away, or his job isolates him, if he's a man who is not particularly successful with women for whatever reason, and there could be a great many, if he is a man who finds himself not comfortably conforming or comfortably fitting into the heterosexual norms and traditions and rituals, this is an easier way to go.
And why was Ted Haggerty then? Why would you say Ted Haggerty was here? Here's a guy that was married, right?
Well, he was, but his ministry took him away, I think, from his home, from his family, from his children, from his wife. The demands of that ministry, the travel of that ministry, the television appearances, the individual counseling, the appearances, the fundraising, that took him away from his traditional marriage. And once that happens, loneliness, I think, sets in, Phil. And when loneliness sets in, I think a lot of straight men, a lot of heterosexual men are targets for same-sex marriage. That's what we're worried about, and I think that's what Chris Christie and others, myself included, are worried about. I don't have a problem with gay people getting married.
Well, then, if you have no problem with gay people getting married, sorry to interrupt you, Pastor. We're talking here with Pastor Dave Castorina of the Castorina Youth Ministries. If you don't have a problem with that, then why not address the problem of straight men being lured into a same-sex marriage separately from the same-sex marriage issue?
The reason why, Phil, is because if you do not address the same-sex marriage issue, which is the legitimacy, the legitimizing of a same-sex marriage, if you don't address that, you simply have maintained that which is drawing these men into a gay lifestyle, into the homosexual lifestyle. Giving that legitimacy makes it more attractive.
And if you're talking about straight men who are not successful with women, straight men who travel a lot, straight men who are alone a lot, who would never be enticed into a homosexual relationship, you're saying they would be with a same-sex marriage, a legalization of same-sex marriage, because what? Because it is more mainstream?
Yes, absolutely. Because you are no longer some kind of an outcast. You're certainly no longer someone who has the traditional mark of a homosexual on you, which is somebody who is involved in an aberrant lifestyle, someone who's involved in aberrant sex, someone who is not engaged in something healthy. What same-sex marriage does, Phil, is it makes the homosexual a healthy individual, makes that a healthy relationship. And you've got so many straight men without great success with women, without great success with heterosexual relationships, who would be drawn to that? And that's what we fear more than anything else.
Let me ask you, yourself, you're not married, are you?
No, I'm not married.
And yet you are, and your ministry takes you to the places that Ted Haggerty's took him to, and your ministry takes you to the fundraising and all of these places that take you away from what would be a traditional home. Are you saying that you're at risk of falling into a homosexual or same-sex marriage?
In my case, Phil, I'm not, and I'll tell you why, and I'm not trying to necessarily separate myself out from the mainstream of men, but I am a minister. I'm the head of my church, and unlike Ted, because he was married, there are a lot of women who are friends of mine, a lot of women who serve in our church, a lot of women who are secretaries in our church, a lot of women who I know admire me. I don't have a difficult time attracting women. And it's one of the reasons why I have not gotten married, because it would not be fair to my female congregants to attach myself to one woman. So, yes, I am single. You're right. And, yes, my ministry does take me to a great many different places away from home. My home base is Phoenix, Arizona. But I am not separate from the company of a woman the way a Ted Haggerty would be, or a lot of men who are simply not attractive to women.
Okay, we're talking here with Pastor David Castorini about the vetoing of the gay marriage bill in New Jersey. He supports that. He believes that that was the healthy thing to do, that the threat of gay marriage, especially to single men, men who have not been successful in heterosexual relationships, men who are alone a lot, men who travel alone or may just be involved in very solitary lifestyles, that's a real threat, gay marriage, the legitimacy of gay marriage. It's a real threat to those men. Our number is 877-876-7445. David Castorini with us as we talk about the vetoing of the gay marriage bill by Chris Christie in order to preserve the heterosexuality of single men in America. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Oh, I said I wouldn't say that. 7445. Excuse me. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show here as we talk to David Castorini. He is with Castorini Youth Ministries out of Phoenix, Arizona. And David is in Phoenix tonight. So you're not traveling tonight, right, David?
Actually, Phil, I just got back. We were in Denver, Colorado. And before that, we had stopped at Reverend Cherish's conclave in Minneapolis. And we were just back as recently as last night. We were fixing to head out again to San Diego tomorrow. We have a very big youth conclave that we're going to have in San Diego. And
is this something you're going to talk about with the young people?
Well, I will address what I think was a very courageous veto by Governor Christie to keep same-sex marriage off the table and preserve the heterosexuality of our young people, as well as our, and this does not get addressed enough, as well as our adults, as well as our married men, as well as individuals who are susceptible, most susceptible to same-sex marriage, most susceptible to gay marriage, and gay sex, would be those single men who, again, travel, who have no real female relationship at the present time in their lives, the fact that they are away from their loved one. Ted Haggerty, I think, is a great example of that. So that's what we're attempting to do, Phil, by endorsing what Chris Christie did. Keep straight men straight.
I've not heard of all of the arguments against same-sex marriage that I've heard. I have not heard the argument that straight men are at risk from same-sex marriage because it legitimizes same-sex marriage, and therefore you're saying a heterosexual man will look at it and say, well, you know what, it's okay to be gay.
That is exactly correct. I can tell you, if I was if I was a proponent of same-sex marriage, if I was an individual who wanted to promote it, you just came up with a pretty good little advertising slogan there. It's okay to be gay. Well, no, it isn't. It goes against the Word of God, and that's what we are most concerned with.
All right, 877-876-7445, and here is Jerry. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with David Castorini.
Well, good evening, Phil. This is a very interesting chat you've got on the phone tonight.
How are you, Jerry?
Well, I'm very good.
He's an interesting man. Reverend Castorini has been on our program before.
I haven't heard him on your program. I've listened to your show before, but I wanted to ask the Reverend, the idea that a man traveling by himself and is away from his wife and from his children, in your mind, is a threat to his sexual nature? Is that it?
I think if you are disposed to it, yes. If you're not a very attractive man to women,
that's the part I wanted to talk to you about. When you say you're not a very, if you're not a very attractive man to women, what does that mean?
Well, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon, but...
What do you mean? An ugly guy?
Yeah, if you're an ugly guy, you don't get dates. If you're a man who spends a lot of time alone.
I want to tell you, I spend a lot of time alone because I work in a job that is a singularly isolated job. I am doing, at odd times, I'm doing repair and machine work, and I don't have a lot of people around me. I have my own machine shop. That has never given me the sense that I wanted to even remotely be interested in a gay marriage, you see.
We are talking about same-sex marriage from the standpoint of it, but the legitimacy of that.
Yeah, the legitimacy. I've never been interested in the legitimacy of a homosexual relationship.
Are you? Can I ask you something, Jerry? How old are you?
I'm in my early 50s.
You're in your early 50s. Have you been married?
I've been married, yeah.
And... I guess this goes without saying. Did you enjoy it?
Did I enjoy what? Did I enjoy the...
Did you enjoy heterosexuality?
I very much enjoyed heterosexuality, yes, and I'd like to be married again.
But you have not gotten married, have you?
I have not gotten married. I have not found the right woman. But I can assure you I'm not attracted to men. Or the idea of same-sex marriage being available to me, making sex more available to me, has never been something I'm interested in.
All right. Can I ask you something? Are you being honest when you say that you're not lonely enough to be involved sexually with another man?
Yes, of course I am. I think the notion of this is wrong.
And well, there are a great many, and Phil, I'll say this to you, there are a great many straight men that think that it is wrong-headed. But to defeat gay marriage, we have to look at every aspect of it.
And so the idea of gay marriage being alluring to straight men who are alone, who are not attractive to women, who are not currently married, who don't currently have a relationship, this is something that you feel needs to be addressed.
I don't see any point in it myself, and I've never felt the need to discourage it in my own life.
Well, again, I think if we're going to talk about young people being drawn into a homosexual lifestyle, then we also have to talk about adults being drawn in by a homosexual lifestyle. This is just about the children, Phil. This is about adults who are at risk.
And are there women at risk?
I would say that there are, but for the most part, this seems to be something that men wrestle with. And so as long as we have these people at risk, as long as we have, no matter whether they're children or whether they're adults, we have to address that as openly and honestly as we can and not be childish about it.
I'm not being childish. What I'm saying...
I'm not saying you are being childish. You know,
what I'm saying is I have never felt the need to have a same-sex marriage with another man.
Well, that's what a same-sex marriage is.
I understand that, sir, but I've never felt the need to have a same-sex marriage with a man.
And you are being honest with us.
Yeah, I've said that.
The man's already indicated that he is.
I've already indicated that I am.
And yet you are not married now. You don't have a woman in your life.
No.
All right, let's take a break here.
I find that very suspect.
Well, I do not.
Let's take a break here. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. And we have Pastor David Castorini on with us talking about the vetoing of that same-sex marriage bill in New Jersey and who it is that he and other Christians are trying to protect. Straight heterosexual children, sure, but also adults. Adults who may be lured into same-sex marriage. Phil Henry Show.
To the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL with David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries.
I heard you just say you did not give out the number there.
I'm sorry?
You said you did not want to say Phil.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. 877-thank you.
I remember hearing you say that. I thought I'd bring that up to you.
877-876-7445. You're absolutely right, Reverend David Castorini. We talk about the vetoing of the gay the same-sex marriage bill by Chris Christie, and the fact that Reverend Castorini, you support that because you feel that same-sex marriage legalized will lead men into heterosexual men into homosexual marriages themselves. Here is Bob. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I'd like to address the Reverend. You were saying that you found it suspect. Previous caller making the statements he made about not having any need or feelings or desire to be hooked up with another man. I also have no feelings or desire, and I've been divorced for since 94. I don't know how many years that is, but that's how long I've been divorced.
Well, and do you not feel if there is a legitimizing of same-sex marriage? And what I mean by that is that you were married at one time. So if we have same-sex marriages legitimized in much the same way that heterosexual marriage is legitimized, then what's to stop you from saying to yourself or to whoever, well, then I can engage in a homosexual marriage and it will not be looked down upon by society, it won't be illegal, and pretty soon you start to convince yourself it's not immoral.
Well, first
you see what I'm saying?
I look down on it, whether you just said it occurs or not. I have no desire to be to have a legitimate, or as you were saying, married relationship with a man. I simply don't find men sexually attractive to me.
Well, and I understand that, but what I've been saying to you, Phil, and what I say to Bob and to your listeners, what Governor Christie is doing by vetoing that bill, and other governors that have the same kind of courage, they're not giving same-sex marriage an opportunity to root and to nest in the subconscious of straight men, so that this gentleman here, Bob, is saying he does not have the desire. But if we have same-sex marriage legitimized, then it begins, it starts as a kernel of, it begins to root in his mind that he has that option.
Not in Bob's mind, no.
You're saying in Bob, or in anybody, any single guy's mind. And now I know, Pastor, that you... And we can talk about this after the call, but you yourself have had a homosexual experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you see, I am a little bit more honest about these things, maybe, Bob, than you are. I don't want to speak for you. You know what's true in your life.
Well, are you gay?
No, of course I'm not. I have I've had many girlfriends.
No,
but
you're gay.
Yes. No, sir, I'm not. I'll tell you what happened. I was alone, as I've just said to you, Bob, on the road, away from family, away from friends. I was very tired. I had been out on a cavalcade. This was one of our traveling conclaves for our Christian youth ministry, and became involved with this man because there was, at that moment, no female option. So I had a homosexual relationship, and I found out how easy it is to fall into that.
Well, because it was easy for you, it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy for other men.
Well, I don't think you're being honest.
Not only not desirable.
Well, again, I will say what I said to Phil. I don't think you're being 100% honest. If it's legitimized with the law, Bob, you have one more option in your life to, if you want me to use the crude term, I'll say it, to get laid.
I live in
what, one more.
It's legitimate. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, Phil.
You, sir, you have one more option, Bob, in your life to get, if I may say, use the word, to get laid. You have women. Now you have same-sex marriage. Now you can get laid by a guy, to put it as crudely as possible.
That's just not true.
Why is that not true? I don't understand. If it's legitimized, if it...
Because intercourse between a man and a woman is a little different than getting laid by a guy. That's just not conceivable.
That's I know, no, I know that, but it still can be just as sexually satisfying.
Well, to those, well, yeah, for men, I guess if you get off, you're satisfied. I guess that's the answer.
I mean, well, I think what you're missing here, if I may say this, Dave, is you're missing the I don't know how to put this, you know.
Well, the reason why you guys are having a hard time articulating is because what I'm saying is making a lot of sense. If you are on the road a long time like I was, and you have the option to engage in a gay act, you will.
No.
And if
no.
they legitimize it, well, if they legitimize it, I think that a lot of men will.
Well, you've just heard now, you've heard, yeah, Bob has just told you no. You heard Jerry, the last caller, say no.
And I understand how men deny. Look at Ted Haggerty's been denying for a long time. And
well,
Ted's a straight guy.
I've made my opinion. I don't want to take up your line.
I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much, Bob, for your call, though. I appreciate that very much. 877-876-7445. Ted Haggerty is what?
Ted Haggerty is a straight man. But the loneliness of his life, raising money for this enormous church, being there for everybody except himself, being there for his board, being there to raise money, being there to lead this highly successful church, naturally led him to gay acts because he did not have the option of a female. His wife, he's married.
And well, his wife was there.
No, not when he's out on the road. If you're on the road, if you hit the road 300 days out of the year, Ted Haggerty was probably on the road about, there's 365 days in a year, Phil. Ted Haggerty was on the road about 350 of those days. And
good God, are you serious? I didn't know that.
I'm totally serious. His wife is nowhere to be found, so that leaves the gay option. And that's what I'm saying, that you, Bob, and all straight men need to look at that and think a little bit more honestly.
All right, our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Dave Castorini. Chris Christie vetoed a same-sex marriage bill in New Jersey today. And Dave Castorini is here supporting that veto, saying that if you legitimize same-sex marriage, it becomes more attractive to straight people. So what you're saying here, if I may be so bold, is that the only thing that keeps a straight man or a straight woman from engaging in a homosexual sex is the fact that it's not legitimized by society.
Phil, I think that goes without saying. If you look at society has rightfully identified the homosexual as an aberrant individual and performing an aberrant sex act. If you now legitimize that sex act, it becomes more attractive. It becomes an option for the straight man who is traveling, who is a salesman, who is out away from his family, who is driving a truck, whatever. It becomes a legitimate option. And I don't know. There's not too many different ways I can say that. I'm getting a little tired.
Well, because it's a very unbelievable statement. Anyway, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Let's go over to Charlie. Charlie, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Listen, the man that you've got on your program right now is looking at this with a 180-degree opposite view of the way you should see this, and here's why I say that. If you are a heterosexual, you are opposed by your very physical nature of the homosexual act. Would you agree with that, Pastor?
No, sir, I do not, because I do not agree. I do not agree with the idea of it being orientation.
You do not say that again. I'm sorry.
I do not agree with it being a physical orientation. I believe that homosexuality is a lifestyle that is chosen.
Well, that is just not the case, and I won't argue that with you, as I heard Phil say. But if I see in my state that homosexual marriage is legal, I don't care, because I am a heterosexual married to a woman, and even if I wasn't married to a woman, I would not want to be a homosexual.
You say that, sir, but you can't be sure, because...
No, I am absolutely 100% sure, even if I was alone, if I was a hermit, if I had no woman in my life at all, I would still want a woman.
You say that now because they...
Oh, it's got nothing to do with whether gay marriage is legitimate. If you're telling me if gay marriage was legitimate and if everyone said, well, I have the gay option, as you call it,
I call it a same-sex option, sir. I'm just saying it's a legitimate option.
Well, no, it is not a legitimate option if I want to have sex with a female, which is what I would like to have in my life. It is not a legitimate option. And you said one other thing, sir. You said you have a gay act. Is that correct?
Well, what I said was I'd engaged in gay sex. Yes, sir.
All right. And I don't fault you for that, sir. That is your choice. But, sir, that makes you a homosexual.
No, it does not. No, it does not, Charlie. That makes me a man who was away from female company. And I turned to a homosexual. I turned toward a homosexual option because the straight option had been closed down to me.
What do you mean it was closed down? Can you please explain that?
Yeah, what does that mean? I'd like to know that too, Dave. It was closed down to you. You're not married.
Not because I did not have the girlfriend that I had at the time and my female congregates, and I have a great many female congregates who are good friends of mine, were not available to me.
All right, well, okay, you say they were not available. You had gay sex with a man.
Well, that's the only kind of sex you can have with a man, sir, yes.
Right, well, I'm not trying to be funny or anything.
No, I understand that, sir.
You had a gay act, and you say that was normal, and I'm telling you right now, that is not normal.
Well, I agree that being a gay is not normal. I agree with that. The gay sex that I had was entirely normal, given what I was forced into. It's not normal, you're right.
And well, who forced you into it?
The fact that I only had the gay option, and that if same-sex marriage was available... At the time I had the gay act, and let's say I had gotten married to a man, that would have been the result of the legitimizing of that.
Why would you marry a guy?
Why would you marry a man if you're not a homosexual, sir?
Hold on. That's what I want to know. Why would you marry him?
Again, Phil, I'm going to say it again, and that's all right, because it would be legitimized. And therefore, all right.
Well, I am telling you right now, no, it would not be. If gay marriage was legal, I would never be married to a gay or engage in gay. I would never do that because it's not my orientation, as much as you say you don't believe in that.
There's no such thing as it's a chosen lifestyle, sir.
No, you're absolutely wrong there, sir. You're totally wrong. It is not a chosen lifestyle. And that's a ridiculous statement.
All right, hold on, and thank you very much, Charlie, for your call, and hang on the line. We'll be back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, we're talking with David Castorini from Castorini Youth Ministries, that if gay marriage is legal, that means gay marriage becomes legitimate. That means that straight men suddenly see that as a sexual option. And you can hear the Reverend saying he had a homosexual experience in his life, which he said would have been made worse had there been gay marriage, because he might have gotten married to that guy. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and David Castorini on the line with us in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about Chris Christie, Governor Christie of New Jersey, vetoing same-sex marriage. I suppose, before we get back to some calls, your argument, I suppose some people have called you a homophobe or a bigot, David. Is that correct?
Well, fortunately for me, Phil, that has not really been a case because I'm a youth minister. I am better able to communicate with young people. My life is young people. And I think they trust me and they see me as someone who is understands them and speaks their language. So they enjoy my ministry now. So I don't think they see me as some old, dried up old bigot. And I don't think I am a bigot. I'm simply saying that same-sex marriage is too much of a trap for our single men who will jump into bed with another man as long as society says it's okay.
And we do need to tell people you've had that experience.
I had sex with another man, but it was not gay sex because I'm not gay. I had sex with another man simply because I got sucked in by the fact there were no women in my life at that time.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445 here at the Phil Hendry Show. Let me go to a phone call. On the line is, where are we going here? Oh, we're going over to Johnny. Okay, let's go to Johnny. Johnny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Reverend Castorina. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Very good.
I just wanted to make a point. You know, the way things are now, and, you know, they're making same-sex legal and men marrying men and women marrying women. You know, it goes back to the simple thing of, you know, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and, Adam and Steve.
Adam and Steve, that's exactly right. I heard a joke today. I heard a joke today, Ronnie. God made mac and cheese. He didn't make Mac and Steve. I think that's cute, too. But you're right.
Yeah.
You know.
But you know, when it breaks down to it, things are
Can I ask you, have you had an experience with another man? I'm saying this because as a minister of God's word, you can have a sexual experience with a man because you got forced into it. And not be
You can't get sucked in. I imagine you can.
Yes, sir. But has that ever happened to you?
No.
Let this gentleman make his point, Reverend. Yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
Let me make my point. What I'm saying is things are getting so common now to where men and, you know, are going with other men. Think about this. Sodom and Gomorrah, things got so bad at that time that God told them, you go in there, you find 40 people, you find 10 people, and they couldn't find none of them. So
they couldn't find anybody that was not a sodomite, right?
Right. So things are getting so bad now. It's so common. I mean, even the angels went in there, and they wanted to have sex with the angels.
Yeah, and the angel, and do you think, and when I read that story, and I take comfort in that story, Johnny, do you think the angels at some point wanted to have sex with as well?
No.
Because I think it's a lesson. I think it's a lesson for us.
You're talking about God's angels.
I am saying that Sodom was such a depraved place. If David Castorini, who's a minister of God's word, if I can hop into bed with a man and have sex with him for six solid hours, why can't one of God's angels?
You can't even
Well,
I've done that.
But, all right, listen, Johnny, thank you for your call. I don't think that we can you can't compare you to God's angels. Let me go to Diana here on the Phil Hendry Show. Diana, go ahead, please.
Oh, my God, this is so disgusting. The Bible, the minister needs to read the book of Romans, the first chapter. When you don't retain God in your knowledge, you're proud and puffed up, and you're open to a homosexual spirit. That is not of God, and he needs to humble himself and repent and turn to God because that's not right. I don't believe in the gay act marriage or anything like that, but that's really disgusting. I mean, you only attracted if you legalize guns, if I don't believe in guns, it's not going to make me want to carry a gun. You know, legalizing anything, it doesn't make you attracted to it. You're attracted to it because something unclean is in your spirit. You know, you're not automatically attracted. And you're spending too much time on the road if you're attracted to a man. Why can't you, I mean, it's wrong. Fornication is the same if you're married and want a woman. But
I'm not married, ma'am. I'm not married. I'm a single man. I've never had...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You still would not be attracted to a man. That is in your something you need to humble yourself before God. You're a minister?
Oh, Diane, yes, I am. Diane, I work with thousands of young people every year.
Well, you need to go back to the altar, brother. You need to go back to
Diane,
the altar.
Let me say this. I love God. I love you. And I love Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
You love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yes. Well, yes. Now, we all stumble. And when I had that, all I'm saying, if you could hear me, Diana, all I'm saying is this. I am not gay. I had gay sex.
Yes, you are.
And the reason is because there was no woman available to me. And
no, you're talking, Reverend, if I can say. I just want to say one thing, Diana, because Diana, let me say this. Reverend Castorini, tell you what, Diana, why don't you hang on the line for me? We have to take a break. We'll get back to you and Reverend Castorini. 877-876-7445. But I want you to just think of one thing, Reverend. Now I forgot.
Well, you forgot because I don't think there was really much truth in what you had to say to me. God says, vomit you out of my mouth if you lie. Oh, man.
No, that's not what that quote is.
Well, if you're going to say something about me, it better be true.
No, all I'm saying to you is, I can't remember now.
Yeah, I know you can't remember. Because God stopped your thought. He knew it was garbage.
Phil.
And if you want to start...
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. On the line with me tonight is Reverend David Castorini of the Castorini Youth Ministries as we discuss Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey vetoing a same-sex marriage bill. This is going to be coming up again and again across our country. There are a variety of interpretations constitutionally, I suppose, although I must say, I don't think I've heard any high court uphold the ban on these laws. Here in California, you know, the Supreme Court overruled the ban on same-sex marriage, saying that it did not, that it violated the equal protection under the law clause of the Constitution. But nonetheless, we have with us Reverend Castorini, and our number is 877-876-7445. Reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That is our worldwide web, worldwide headquarters. And with a backstage pass, you can access thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived Phil Henry Show material. So if you're new to our show, as I just spoke to a gentleman during the break who's brand new to the show, and he loves our show, and we're very grateful for that. And you want to catch up on what exactly has been going on over the last 22 years, we have about 15 of those years in our archives, because this radio show has been on the air for 22 years. So visit us at philhenryshow.com and become a Backstage Pass member. Reverend Castorini, as we get into our second hour here, and we're going to get back to our phone calls, I do have a question for you. And it's simply this. You have acknowledged on the air, and you are a Christian minister, to having had a homosexual relationship.
Phil, if I could interrupt, it was not a homosexual relationship. It was a sex act that was homosexual in nature. But I did not have a relationship with this person. This was a homosexual act predicated on the need for me as a heterosexual to have female companionship, which was not available to me at that time because my female congregates were not traveling with me at that time. Now,
because in other words, if you had your female congregates with you, you would have had sex with a woman.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, and that would have been out of wedlock. So is that not a sin?
This is something very difficult, especially for people who are not Christians, to understand. As a Christian minister, as a man who is witnessing the Word of God to others, you know, my female congregants are going to want to, they're going to be attracted to me. I can't get married because it sends a message to my other female congregants that they are not important to me, that they are, that they will no longer have the kind of relationship that they might have had with me. So I have to be above that. When you talk about gay sex, Phil, God help us, this world is a strange world. We have in this world today men who have the appearance of women. Some people call them transsexual, some people call them he, she, this kind of thing. So that's why I did not have gay sex. It was technically a man, you're right. But it was not gay sex.
Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that you had sex with a transsexual?
Well, I don't think that what we want to do here, as we discuss this in light of my Christian ministry, the kind of sex that I have, I don't want to get involved in that discussion. In fact, I will not get involved in that discussion, other than to say that I tried to make it as heterosexual in nature as I could.
Yep. All right, you're right. I'm not interested. I'm sure as hell not. But I do not know how it is you say that you are did not engage in a homosexual, that you're not a homosexual engaging in that act. But it's taking us far afield of what we were talking about here. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876. Phil, let me get over here to, got a bunch of phone calls hanging on the line. Here is Max. Max, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. I got a question for the reverend. I would like to call him, but he's not really a reverend. But Dave, sorry if I had to call you
God
that.
God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, you said that you had sex with another man before, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, was it consensual?
Well, yes, sir, it was. Most certainly was.
It was. Okay.
And yes, sir.
That makes you gay. I'm going to tell you why. I could agree with you if you was raped.
No, it does not.
False. By another group of men, hold you down in jail or something, another one did you, then I could say that you're not gay. But if you accept to lay down with another man, you're gay. The Bible.
No, it was. No, but here's the thing, and I think you made a very good point there. I was forced into it because there were no women available to me, you see? So, in a way, I was raped by a society that would not allow me the company of a woman on so many long journeys on behalf of my church.
Oh, now that's asinine, what you just said.
Well, Phil, I would remind you, you're speaking to a Christian minister. And
I don't care. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life, that you were raped by society.
Yeah. No, I don't mean that. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Now, I'm a man. I'm a truck driver. I'm driving right now. I'm 160 pounds. I don't
Then you're susceptible.
I'm 160 pounds. I have never been any bigger than that. Now, if a man is 500 pounds, if you come to me, you touch me, you have to kill me. I'm not going to let a man, four or five guys hold me down and do me wrong. I can't fight it. And that don't
I'm not talking about that. I understand that, sir. But I'm saying you're out on the road. You're by yourself. Morning, noon, and night. You got a long haul. You're away from your wife. You're away from your family. It's only that. And if so, what I want to do is protect you. And by making same-sex marriage legal, it makes you susceptible to wanting to get with a guy. You
see? Then what do you say about the Bible said a man not to lay down with a man? As a minister, you should never stand. We should never go against that, brother.
That's absolutely correct. You are absolutely right. But I didn't lay with another man in the way you're saying. See, I'm not gay.
Sir, you are gay.
First of all, well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, and I think, Richard, is that the gentleman's name?
No, his name is Max.
I'm sorry, Max. This was we call him a he-she. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And I said, if we're going to have sex, I want it to be as close to heterosexual sex as possible.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference.
Why?
Because you knew that that was a man that you were having sex with.
Exactly.
You went ahead, consensually had sex with this man, whether he had hormone treatments or whatever these guys do.
Well, come on, Phil. I dare you to say that that's a guy.
Oh, come on, man. I'm not even I'm not going down that road with you, okay? Cats that are into that, you know, groovy. I ain't saying they're wrong, but I sure as hell ain't saying they're straight. And that's just all there is to it.
So you're saying the guys that have sex with he-she's are gay?
Yes, 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 I am. All right, Max. Thank you, sir, for your call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil. I guess we're going to give out the numerals there on our show. With me is David Castorini. He is the pastor there at Castorini Youth Ministries. Let's move on to another phone call here as long as we are in this first segment here. I don't know if we still have Charles. Let's go down here to Richard, I think it is. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Do we have Richard or Johnny? Is it Johnny? Wow, what happened to Bud? You're going to have to crank it up, man. All right, let's take a break, okay, so we can get some of these calls lined up, because I don't think, Bud, you've screened any of these.
But two of them.
All right, you with me there, Reverend?
Phil, I am right here.
All right. David Castorina with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. David Castorini with us from Castorini Youth Ministries. You've made some comments here that have further, I think, muddied the waters here, Reverend.
Well, I hope that you are listening carefully, Phil.
No, I'm listening very carefully, and you've made comments that have muddied the waters. You're saying that the sex you had was with a transsexual, therefore, and you also insisted on a heterosexual style sex.
That is correct, yes.
And so, therefore, that was not homosexual sex.
No, I don't believe it was, Phil. And I know that it is a fair game, and it seems to be a national sport now in America to take Christian ministers and, you know, sort of run us through the mill and insult us and make us feel as if we are liars and hypocrites. And that's fine. I don't think I'm Jesus. And I don't think David Castorini is anything more than just one grain of sand in this beautiful universe that our Lord created. But I'm telling you that the sex I had with this guy, I insisted it be as close to heterosexual sex as possible. That's why it is not gay sex, because it was a, as they call it in street lingo, it was a he-she. But it still was the result of the fact there wasn't a woman around. Now, if you pass same-sex marriage, David Castorini, and just about every man that you are is listening to this program tonight, if things get difficult, if we're out on the road and I'm not good-looking enough and no woman wants to be with me, then same-sex marriage legitimizes he-she, straight up, you know, sex with a guy, whatever you want to call it. That's why we must not allow it to happen.
But it sure as heck won't be your fault, huh?
No, Phil, you're
Well, I mean, that's what it all sounds like to me. You've got a million different ways of saying it ain't my fault, and I try to make it straight sex, and I'm not gay, and it was a he-she, and if you make same-sex marriage now, will it be your fault if you get married to a guy?
It will be the work of a devil working through our society. And
so, but it won't be your fault.
I'm not saying that, Phil. I'm saying it will be the devil working through our society, enabling same-sex marriage, which would drive a man such as myself into the arms of a he-she, which is, that's about as low as I ever want to sink in my life. And if I have to sink to that level twice.
All right, 877-876-7445. Diana called back. We had Diana on the line. Go ahead, Diana.
You know, the Bible says a man is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. When lust comes forth, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Mr. David Castorina, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but obviously, I don't know what it's letting you see, but it's not.
I'm reading the New Testament. I'm reading the New Contract with God.
You're reading it, but
Jesus Christ.
You don't agree with what it says. You don't believe it.
What were you quoting just then? Were you quoting New Testament or Old Testament there?
That's New Testament. That's New Testament.
That sounded like Old Testament to me.
That's New Testament. I think it's in James. When we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed, it's either James or John. I know exactly what it says, but I don't know where it is.
She said James? It sounded like she said James.
James, J-A-M-E-S.
All right.
James, the book of James.
James,
The first step to getting help is admitting that you're wrong and that you did commit, and you are homosexual. You must admit that, okay? You've committed a homosexual act, and you have a desire. Now, when they change the law, it's not going to make me attracted to a woman, God help me, because I don't have that attraction. I see some commercial on TV, two women, I think it's Revlon
right.
or something, two women kissing.
Yes.
I turn my head. That's disgusting to me. I'm not attracted to a woman, sir. I don't have that in me. Now,
I understand that, but I'm saying that once they make it legal, then it becomes an option for you. It's a go-to option.
You have to get it out of your heart. It's not in. What are you teaching the young people? A minister is an example. It's an example.
I am teaching them. I am telling them that same-sex marriage is wrong. I'm telling them the homosexuality is wrong.
It's wrong. You don't even believe it. What are you saying? You're telling them it's wrong.
It is wrong. It most certainly is wrong. I am not a homosexual. I had straight style sex with a transsexual.
This is a case of self-delusion here, you know.
I beg your pardon, Phil.
No, it really is, because I've been listening to you, Reverend, and I've known you for many years. I know you're a good man, but you got something in your head that if you had a... What do you mean straight? I don't understand by straight style.
Well, I'm not going... We have a lady on the line, and I'm going to respect that. And
all right, but you had some manner of sex that you felt was similar to what a man and a woman have?
Phil, I was having sex with a woman. It was a he-she.
You can't even refer to this individual as a he or a she. You say it was.
Well, what do you call it?
A he. A man. A man who's had some sort of chemical enhancement, surgical treatment. I don't play this how I present jazz, man. You know?
Well, don't go all hippie on me. And
I'm not going hippie. What I'm telling you is this. I don't dig this whole I present as a woman, therefore I am a woman.
Well, that's how you're supposed to do it, though. That's
I don't give a damn if that's how you're supposed to do it. That's exactly... You have sex with a guy who calls himself a woman. Do you think you're having heterosexual sex?
Yeah.
Well, that's bullcrap, man. That's bullcrap.
Phil, in our society, if a person presents as a woman, you got to call it a woman.
Well, I don't got to do anything, man, and maybe I will call her a woman. But I'm telling you right now, if she has a man's parts... And I'm attracted to her, I'm gay.
You may be gay. But I'm trying to educate you and Diana to the reality of being on the road. I love women. I'm sexually attracted to women. None of my female congregants was anywhere around me.
If they were, you would still be wrong. That's fornication.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't make... But I'm not a gay.
It doesn't make it still wrong. Yes, you are gay if you're attracted to a man. That's what you have to understand. If you are a man...
I'm not attracted to a man. It was a go-to option. You understand? So if we have same-sex marriage and Diana says, you know what, my man is at home, I'm a million miles away from him, but at least there's a woman over here...
No, I don't have that desire. You don't understand that. I don't have that desire.
Not now you don't.
Don't
not now you don't.
One. I don't care.
All right, look, Diana, I'm going to take... Thank you, Diana, for your call. It was a great call and some very
thank
good
you.
Thoughts. I think that, you know...
Phil, the point that I'm making and that no one wants to hear, once we have legalized same-sex marriage, which I'm opposed to, I am opposed to that. Once we have that, then you have legitimized the gay act, and Diana, who today would never think of having sex with a woman, Once gay marriage is legitimized, Diana now says, well, it's legal. I guess who's it going to kill? It's not going to, or who's it going to hurt?
And she's married. She's not going to be unfaithful to her husband.
Well, if you're married, that's a different story. But again, if the marriage is not good, and a men cheat on their wives, wives cheat on their husbands, she would cheat with another woman.
You got some kind of notion, man, that I just don't think you have backed up with any real facts. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Here is Michael. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight? Reverend,
good, sir.
I just want to bring up a small point. You do understand that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes, absolutely. Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Okay,
of course we do that. Yes.
Excellent. Now, once you understand that, you need to come to a point, Reverend, because you are an example for the young kids you minister to. And I'm not going to argue the fact that whether or not homosexuality is right or wrong or any of that. What we need to deal with, and where you need to start in your ministry, in my opinion, is dealing with the sin that you took part in. You could feel that it was homosexual, a homosexual relationship or not. But what's the matter is, the matter of the fact is that you engaged in that activity. I'm a young man.
Well, I engaged in an activity with a he-she.
Right. Well, you know, I'm a 33-year-old man.
My
job, I travel a ton. I'm up and down
sir.
California all the time. You know, I don't have any desire to be with another man. I don't care if there's not another female around me for...
What if that man and
I tell you what, hang on you and you too, Reverend Castorini. I'll get back to both of you guys. We're going to take a break here. Talking with David Castorini of the Castorini Youth Ministries about Chris Christie vetoing same-sex marriage, and it is the Reverend's opinion that that's a good move because if we have same-sex marriage, then that becomes an option for straight people. Oh, well, I can't find sex with a woman or a man. I think I'll have sex with someone of my own gender, even if it is a he-she, which is... Anyway, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
Yeah.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. David Castorini from Castorini Ministries is on the line with us. And this has devolved into a conversation, David, about your own orientation, even though you're opposed to same-sex marriage.
Phil, that's why I'm troubled, because I have come out very clearly against homosexual marriage, same-sex marriage.
But you've told people that you were involved in a sexual relationship, or a sex act, as you call it.
Absolutely. It was not a relationship. It was a six-hour sexual experience It was a woman. But you're right. It was a transgender. But the point I'm making is, there's an old saying, Phil, any port in a storm. And
any port in a storm. So that's how you see same-sex marriage will be for straight people. They will think of it as any port in a storm. Well, as long as it's cool, I'll go ahead and go for it.
Well, I don't think I'm going to put it that way myself in my life. Oh, as long as it's cool, I'll go for it. I think in my life I will pray on it, and I will ask God to please God, I don't want to have sex with a man. But if that's where the night's going, if that's where I'm headed,
Are you saying God wants you to have sex with a man?
No, I'm just saying, God, I would rather not. But if that's how bad this night's going to get.
All right, 877-876-7445. I want to get back to our caller on the line here. Michael, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. We're all brought through situations of testing and pain. You know, even Jesus, when he was set apart for the 40 days and was tempted by Satan, you know, we're meant to go through those kind of things as Christians. And it is our job to flee from sin. And, I mean, as a minister, you know this firsthand. You even alluded to it earlier on when you spoke about how you didn't engage in sexual acts with the females of your congregation.
Yes.
I want you to understand that we are called as Christians to godly marriage. Marriage was the first institution of the Bible, the first thing
yes.
the Lord established. And guess what?
Absolutely.
It was the last institution of the Bible. In the Bible also.
Well, you are right about that. But here's the thing. This is the thing, Michael. I'm a Christian minister who has a congregation that literally is national in scope. I've been on television. I have appeared on a variety of TV programs, as well as our own Youth Ministry Sunday special TV program. And so I'm known, and there are women that, you know, just between you and me, they want to get with me.
Oh, yeah,
see what I'm saying?
I completely understand that, you know. In any position of power, especially in the church, you're going to have people that are attracted to you.
Right.
It is your job.
And so now, on top of that, I've got men, I've got females. Every freak wants to have sex with me.
Right.
And
Wait a minute.
Yeah? What's my job?
You say, we don't know.
I don't want to... you're right. I want to say, look, what am I supposed to do? Get in line, take a ticket? I don't know what to say.
No, what you're supposed to do is
say no.
Exactly.
Set themselves apart. Michael, thank you for your call. 877-876-7445. Set yourself apart, as the young man said, and make yourself apart from that sin. Here is Daniel on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Daniel.
Phil, are you talking about what? Are you a Christian?
I know the Bible. I know what the Bible says.
Well, you're talking to me as if you are above me. I am a Christian minister. You're not. And you're beginning to tell me how to live my life?
You're telling me that you are so attractive to women, you got women hitting on you, you got guys hitting on you, you want to have sex, so you have sex with transsexuals.
That is correct. But I am not telling you how to live.
Well, whatever that means. Go ahead, Daniel. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. Just one real quick thing for if he calls himself the Reverend, I can't.
I don't know what Phil,
you know.
Phil, whatever you just said, I don't understand that.
But yeah, did you hear what this gentleman just said? He can't even call you Reverend.
Well, that's his problem.
Well, no, it's the problem is that you live by the laws of man, and you as a Reverend should know better than that, that the laws of man are not the same laws as the Lord. And you
I've
forgotten that.
Did you say I had a difficult time understanding you, sir?
The laws of the man, the laws of the man are not the same as the laws of God.
Okay.
And you are living by the laws of men, not the laws of God. And you are preaching this to your congregation or whoever your ministry is. You know, I can't believe that. You can't call yourself a reverend.
I am absolutely preaching God's law. I'm simply saying that this is what happens when you don't live by it. If you have same-sex marriage, I wind up in bed trying to figure out ways to have heterosexual-style sex with a man. Why? Because our society is so weak, it has legalized same-sex marriage.
No, it has not. Not yet.
But
not
no,
yet.
I know not yet, but it will. But it will someday.
And
yeah, but it didn't. And
that will be the law of men. That doesn't mean that us Christians, we have to live by that law.
You're saying something about I got to leave the law?
He's saying living by it. I think the gentleman has... You have a little bit of an accent there, sir. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard you say I have to leave the law.
Live the law.
Live the law.
Yes.
Well, Daniel, I do live the law. I try to live the law. I have fallen. I have failed. I have been honest about it, and I move on. One sin does not compromise a man's life. What I try to tell my congregation is this. I can't get married because I've got women all over this country that could
literally wind up in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, come on.
No, well, all right. Forget it. All right. Okay, gentlemen. That's fine. Then I won't talk. You ask me a question, I give you an answer.
They're going to go okay. nuts if you marry a woman.
There are a lot of women that send me letters, yes. And if I could share you the contents and the photographs, I burn these things because I cannot allow myself to go down. I'd rather have sex with a guy than...
Which you did already.
No. You see, you misunderstand.
Yes, you did, and we can't keep having this conversation.
All right, well, then I would rather have sex with a guy than have sex with the women that send me pictures of themselves, married, you know? You guys getting my drift?
Okay, good for you, man. I mean, I don't know what the point of this all is. You've gone from talking about same-sex marriage into your own personal attractiveness, your TV appearances, how many women are chasing you down, the kind of... the kind of sex you had with a transsexual.
Phil, I've never been laughed at before. When I'm speaking the word of God, I don't get laughed at. So just back it up. Back it up.
Well, it's sleeping with a man. I mean, come on.
I didn't slip.
Not speaking the word of God, and you deserve to get laughed at.
Okay, did you want me to sleep with some guy's wife? I don't think so.
No,
how
about holding yourself till you get...
How about not having sex, yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
We all do it. I'm a married man. Oh. I've been married for 10 years. Listen, sir, listen. I've been married for 10 years.
Okay, you've been married for 10 years. That means you don't have sex. Okay.
I'm in the military, okay? I'm in the military. I've been downrange to Iraq for a year.
Which military?
Guess what?
What country's? What country's military?
America.
The United States.
What the accent?
The United States.
Then what's with the accent?
Well, you forget about his accent.
It doesn't matter what my accent is. I mean, you're missing the point here. The point is that I've been downrange. I was downrange for a year, and there's plenty of opportunities over there also to have sex. But guess what? I waited till I got home, and saw my wife. That's the whole point. You
and
wait.
I bet you were real, and I bet you that was a big letdown, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Oh, boy.
No, that
wow.
That makes me a bigger man.
And, sir, you know what, sir? Did you say that you were downwind for a year? I don't understand that.
Downrange. It's just a military term. Yeah. Listen, thank you very much. It was a good call, sir, and I appreciate it very much. That's Daniel here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Would you mind telling me for just a moment here the comment that you made that you have all these women and you get all of these letters?
That is correct.
And you get a lot of women sending you pictures.
That is correct, Phil, yeah.
So therefore, rather than have sex with those women, they're all married?
They are all married. Some of them are underage. Some of them are, obviously, they are women that I'm not going to engage in a personal relationship with because they are married women. And if that means that David Castorini, in order to preserve the sanctity of those marriages, if that means that I've got to have sex with five transsexuals in 1 hour, non-consensual, then I will gladly do that.
You're gay.
You know, grow up, will you?
No, nobody can say that. Hang on the line here. No one can say that. And you're using as an excuse the idea that you're preserving the sanctity and the honor of someone's marriage. David Castorini with us. It is Chris Christie vetoing the gay marriage bill in New Jersey that prompted our conversation tonight. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back with our final segment here in a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. Just a few more minutes here with you, Pastor. When you're on our show, I've always wanted to ask you, what is the fallout when you go back to, I don't know, when you go back to your ministry, when you go back to your church and you talk to people, especially the young people, what do they say?
I got to tell you, Phil, you might be disappointed, but I get a lot of people say, you know, a round of applause when I walk in. A lot of people may not have heard the show. A lot of people, your show is not the only show I'm on, Phil.
No, I know that, but I just wonder, what do they say when you have done one of your appearances?
I get a lot of people, obviously, my young people and my congregants saying to me, job well done, Reverend Dave. And, you know, Phil, we live in a very confusing time. I am, and I think why our ministry has been successful, is I'm able to sort things out for people. Now, you say to me that I am not a man of God if I tell you I didn't have a woman with me that night. I went ahead and had sex with a transsexual, but I tried to make it godlike. I tried to make it...
What do you mean godlike?
I tried to make it like I was having sex with a female, okay? Now, if that's not good enough for you, then I don't know what to tell you.
It doesn't have to be good enough for me. It has to be consistent with your beliefs.
What do you mean with my beliefs?
With your beliefs as a Christian.
Oh, yeah, of course. That goes without saying. You didn't even have to bring that up.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me go over here to Omar. Hi, Omar. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David Castorini.
All I got to say is one thing. You know, even if you ban marriages, there is no point to that, because it's not illegal for a female to have another girlfriend or a guy to have a boyfriend. It's not illegal. You'll be able to see that everywhere around. The only thing is they just can't put it on paper. So, I mean, it's basically just a waste of your time, or you're making yourself look like a... I mean, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, you're just making yourself look bad, because there is no point after what you just said. You know, a lot of people get mixed emotions, and honestly, I don't really want to go to your church or anywhere I know, because it's like you say, you got to be consistent with your beliefs, and I think that's right, what you're doing.
Well, Omar, I know that you... are opposed to what I'm saying. I think we should ban gay marriage. You don't understand what I do.
I'm saying there is no point in banning gay marriages. You're still going to see a girl with another girl, a guy with another guy. That's not illegal. You're going to see
right.
it anyway.
That's right. And the other thing, David, there is no legal gay marriage right now, and you say you had sex. Okay, well, I guess you say you didn't have gay sex.
Exactly. I did not have gay sex.
Okay, pal. You can, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, what you're doing with your comments is you're making your callers now laugh at me. And, you know, I could ask Omar. Omar, you know what I mean, Omar, by sex with a transsexual. Do you call that gay sex?
I mean, I'm a truck driver. I'm on the road all the time. And I best believe, you know, that there's other ways in fulfilling your needs. If I'm really that desperate, you go out and I'll just pay for a woman. I ain't going to pay for no man, and I'd rather just wait till I get back home, because there is no point in you. There's other ways of doing it without you trying to go get saved. That means you were trying. Either way, you were very curious about it. Simple as that. You were curious about it.
Absolutely not. I can't pay for a woman. That's a prostitute. That's prostitution. That's a sin. And
prostitution pays
for
a woman.
So you're saying what you did is not a sin?
I'm saying it is not as sinful as going out and buying some syphilis-ridden...
Huh?
God. Is that your woman? That's your woman right there, Omar. Okay.
Yeah. You want to talk to her? She got something to say.
Yeah, I would like to speak. I would like to speak to her, because you're luckier than me. You've got a woman with you tonight.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Reverend Castorini. What is your name,
okay.
dear?
Okay. My name's Jessica, and
I just want to ask you. You're with Omar. So he doesn't have the worries
years,
that I've got
for
tonight.
12 years, yes.
Right. So he doesn't have the worries I've got. The worries I've got are, where am I going to go and find a woman? Well, guess what? I can't, because I'm going to make one of my other female congregants angry at me, and she may wind up in a psychiatric hospital. So I've got to go out and lower myself.
Okay, so a woman in your congregation would rather hear their reverend, minister, whatever you want to call yourself, because I don't even know what to call you, honestly. They're going to be happier knowing you had sex with he, she, as you refer, than to have sex with an actual woman?
If that
they're going to be proud of you for having sex. I mean, first of all, I think you need to be real with yourself. If
the
you
answer
had,
is yes.
You're saying you didn't have sex with a man. Well, you did.
No, ma'am.
You had sex with a man who had, boobs, to put it in a good, you know, word. You just need to be real with yourself.
Ma'am, what I tried to say to you...
That's what I've been trying to say to him, Jessica, for the last 2 hours.
All right, well, now, hold on, Phil. Don't make this sound like, you know, Reverend Castorina...
I mean, just because I don't even think you should say you had God-like sex. If you want to, you know, be all about your church and all about everything, you want to do it the right way without sinning, then stick to a woman. You need to be real with yourself. You were probably just curious. You've been curious, and maybe... I'm not going to judge you. I'm not perfect. But don't call yourself a reverend and a man of God if you're having sex with a man because it's godlike. It's not. Godlike sex is a man and a woman.
I got as close to a woman as I could. I got a he-she. You don't appreciate that. Mr. Henry doesn't.
Okay. Well, just don't say that you were raped by society. Society doesn't make you gay, straight, bisexual. You are what you are when you were born. Don't blame others for the actions that you took. Just be real with yourself. That's all I'm saying. You want to have sex with a man, you want to have sex with a woman, you want to have sex with whoever you want, an animal, whatever you want.
No, I don't. I want to have sex. I am opposed to gay marriage. I want to have sex with women. I don't want to have sex with men.
Don't go have sex with a man. You keep contradicting yourself.
I didn't. I had no woman with me at the time. My congregates, my female congregates... I can't single out one of
them. You have to lock them all because you denied them. Okay, I get that part.
No, ma'am. If you don't think, if you're mocking that some women, if they know I had sex with another woman, they will be committed to a psychiatric facility.
Oh, come on. What are you, Elvis Presley or something? You're like a sex symbol?
Elvis Presley?
Well, what are you, some Brad Pitt sex symbol to your congregation if you have sex with one?
Are you a man of God, or are you doing this to get fame? No, ma'am.
I am a man of God all the way.
I'm on radios. I'm on different radio shows. Girls are going to go crazy. I mean, you. To me, it sounds like you're just trying to do this to get laid. Don't call yourself a man of God.
Jessica, I mean, that is not the case at all. I'm simply saying this, Jessica. I have a lot of visibility nationally on some network shows, and the girls, they go crazy. You know how it is.
Okay? No, sir. I've never been a girlfriend of anything or anyone.
Well, all right. I appreciate that very much, but...
I think everything you're laying on me right now, Reverend, is a load of horse dung. And
yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's a load of horse dung, and
I
don't give a damn.
I can smell it all the way over here, sir.
Mr. Henry... Until you have found yourself so lonely, you consider having sex with a guy who's wearing a nice wig.
Oh, my God.
All right. Forget I brought it up.
I'd like to forget you brought it up, but I can't. It's been 2 hours.
How dare. You know what? Forget it. Phil, I really hope that my prayers can keep you out of the inevitability of hell, which I don't think they will. Thank you and have a pleasant good evening.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Omar, for your call, and I appreciate it, guys. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up next. My prayers will keep you out of the inevitability of hell.
Which I don't think they will.
Which you don't think they will, right?
Right.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
The main purpose of the book is to have a starting point. Or no.
You're supposed to be a leader. And this is what we have in the legislature.
The main purpose of the book is to have a starting point.
You is so sweet.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that...
You is so sweet.
...knows what it's talking about. Who the hell is that and why is that not funny? Anyway, every night till 1 a on the West Coast, 4 a on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And then Truth is Our Bitch. Truth is Our Bitch. Take it through the looking glass and beyond and... We let you know where it am at, you know, and we go places where other talk shows can't go. It's as simple as that, and as you listen and as you watch, you will find out. Watch us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You can take a look at our live streaming video. You can listen to the archives. You can listen to our podcasts, all of them. Our classic Phil podcasts for free, and of course our daily podcast of each and every show. Thousands of hours in the archives, our news feed, guaranteed email response from your brother here, Phil. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. That's the world we're living in right now, so you better get your backstage pass. Otherwise, you're like a one-legged man in the old ass-kicking contest, right? Right. All right, 877-876-PHIL. A judge in California has blocked a law that restricts sex offenders from living near parks and schools. We're going to be talking with a former sex offender, a man who spent 8 years in a forensic hospital, Herb Sewell, in just a moment, about this new ruling by a California Superior Court judge on something called Jessica's Law. The ACLU fights for students' right to wear bracelets that say boobies. Plus, Hall of Fame manager Sparky Anderson has passed on. Sparky Anderson, 76 years of age, and a resident of one of our local cities, one of our sister cities down the road here, Thousand Oaks, California. Sparky, 76 years of age. I don't know how many world's champ, 3 world's championships, I believe, 2 with the Reds, 1 with the Detroit Tigers, and a number of pennants. Great manager. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Later on, Ron Tarner will join us. Professor Ron Tarner from the Cloverdale Observatory in Colorado. All right, our affiliate spotlight this evening, by the way, on Sparky Anderson's former hometown of Detroit, WDTW 1310 AM, and in Lafayette, Louisiana, KVOL 1330 AM. So let's get on the line, Herb Sewell here from, well, actually, Herb, I will say that you're in Southern California, though you were not supposed to let anybody know where. Although you, as a sex offender, registered sex offender, you have to be registered, and people need to know who are interested where you live, but we are not going to let anybody know for obvious reasons.
Well, there are personal security issues having to do with my own personal security. There's also, of course, the fact that I do register and I allow those access, need that access to my address. But I'm also employed in a research capacity for a number of universities on the West Coast. And so I would rather not let any, if you will, any fallout or collateral fallout from our interview this evening affect my relationships with them.
I understand that. 877-876-PHIL. All right, let's take a look at this story, Herb, because I know you're with an organization called the Sexual Offenders League.
Yes, the Sex Offenders League of California. And there are some 1,000, 1,500 of us. We are basically in a consortium, an organization, so that we might access legal defense information, so that we can be made kept abreast of the latest laws and the latest rulings having to do with the sex offender. For instance, issues such as this is very important. Where are we allowed to live as opposed to where we can't? What our legal rights may or may not be? And certainly what is best for all concerned, most importantly the parents, the families, and so forth, of these children. But we also have lives. We were not convicted of a capital crime that would take our lives from us. So we were in prison, and now we're out of prison. I am myself in a halfway house, but I am going to be at some point purchasing a home, and I have looked at homes that I would like for myself, and I don't want to run afoul of a law that is already quite restrictive, I would say, Phil.
How many years were you in Atascadero?
I was there 8 years.
You were there for a number of violent crimes, not only against children but women, correct?
That is correct.
You also are very familiar with and have become friendly with other violent offenders. Isn't that true?
Yes, that would be true.
All right. And this Sexual Offenders League is an organization of individuals who don't want to go and commit their crimes again.
No, by all means, no.
These are men who, are there women in your organization?
I don't know. There may be. I don't know. I haven't looked at the entire roster of participants and members, but there could very well be.
All right. So what is the number one concern? And let me just, before you tell me this, we got this Jessica's Law, and Judge Superior Court Judge Peter Espinoza ruled that sex offense parolees are forced to become homeless or go to prison because the law gives them few housing options. Now, the law states it is against the law for sex offenders to reside within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. Is that how you understand it?
That is exactly how we understand it. And we think the judge has made a very fine ruling here. Now, I'm not the least bit interested in going out and offending again. I am interested, however, in being able to live someplace other than under a bridge or in a box, you know, or something like this. So I think it needs to be clearly spelled out to those of us in the Sex Offenders League and others who help us legally. What are we supposed to do? Now, the California Supreme Court has upheld, I understand, most of the provisions of the... And this came from Proposition 86, I believe.
Yes, it was in 2006, Prop 86, establishing Jessica's Law to increase punishment for sexually violent crimes. The judge, in his 10-page ruling, said that the housing restrictions have increased the homeless population. That, in other words, there's more homeless people out there, and they're sex offenders.
That could very well be, and that's very dangerous. And we don't, those of us in the Sex Offenders League, don't want this in this situation to be, to exist. Any more than anyone else does. So what we are proposing is the following. The judge has already struck down the provision that to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park is illegal. Therefore, those of us who are currently looking for a home, and this is a depressed housing market, and I would think that those selling homes would be inclined to have the business. You know, I don't know how easy it is selling a home these days. So I would purchase the home, and if there is a problem, obviously, then either the park or the school needs to be moved to an area where you're going to have less of a concentration of sexual offenders.
And now, you understand moving a park a private school or public school is going to be very, very difficult.
I understand that, but what we're saying is two options here. Number one option is the following. Because it's been struck down, so I am allowed to live within 2,000 feet of a private or public school or park. So here's what we would say. Move the park or the school, which I understand is very, very difficult, or put some teeth into the law. If your child, and I say your child, I say this very generally, Phil, comes anywhere near me, then you are placed under arrest. You see, it would be the same were I, Herb School, or anyone who's a defendant in the Sex Offenders League, or any ancillary organization, came within 2,000 feet of a child, or whatever it is we're not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to live in certain areas, then it would be a crime, you see. And
yes, you're proposing that if you this law having been that part of the law struck down, you're proposing that if the children come near the sex offender,
yes, that the parents are arrested, that the child is then placed into some kind of state care until such time as this case can be adjudicated. Now, I'm registered. You can find out where I live. There's no excuse for your kid coming any, when I say kid, I said it was all due respect, Phil, but I'm registered, and you find out where I live on the sex offender registry. There's no excuse for your child to come anywhere near me, and if your kid comes near me, then we have real teeth, we throw the parents in jail.
Now, well, what parent is going to want their kids coming near you?
I dare say, Phil, I don't think there's any parent that wants their children coming near me. However, let's put it this way. If I need to buy a home, and I see a home that is well within my purchasing power, it's also a home that is close to a school or close to a park, and the parents know that that aspect of just law has been struck down, then you have this. Remove your child. Don't complain about it. Don't complain about it. But if you do complain about it, you now let the authorities know you have a child that is living near this sex offender. You're under arrest.
So, what about freedom of speech?
About freedom of speech, you have all the freedom in the world, but you cannot, because of the risk to the child, you can't have your child anywhere near me. When you exercising your freedom of speech, say, I don't want that sex offender living anywhere near me, you exercise that, but you also say, oh, I have a kid here in the house. Aha, now the authorities come to your home, knock on your door, take your child, and put you in jail. And I think that's the only real way. And since I'm registered, the responsibility of now the parents to make sure no child is around me. I've done my part. I've registered. I've done my part. I've purchased a home in as legal a manner as I possibly can. I've purchased it perhaps near a school.
Well, are you going to go out and buy a home near a school on purpose? Are you going to go out and buy a home near a park?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not looking for trouble. See, there's no sex offender anywhere that's really looking for trouble. I'm looking for a home. I'm looking for a place to live as well as conduct my business, because I do telecommute. I'm looking for something that is befitting my income. That's what I'm looking for. So I've done my job, registered as a sex offender. I bought that house, thus and so. The individual sold me the home in a depressed economic, in a depressed real estate market. Of course, Giddy is a man on laughing gas that is able to sell the home that he had to a sex offender that's 2,000 feet from a park. You might even say it's funny. You know,
I don't know too many people that's going to think it's funny.
But no, what I'm saying is the man's been able to do it. So I shouldn't have to turn away from a beautiful home that is right up my alley economically just because it's near a park or school, and the judge agrees with me. That's not very fair. So what happens then is you live near a park, you live near a school, Herb Sewell's your neighbor, you open up your mouth and say, I don't want him there. Oh, really? Do you have children there? Yes, I do. You're under arrest. And so...
So what does a parent do in that situation?
Move. You have to move. There is no choice. Or keep your mouth shut and see what develops. And
well, that's what the fear of a lot of parents is, Herb, and to see what develops.
I'm not saying see what develops. I'm not going to do anything.
Well, a lot of parents are afraid, Herb, that, you know, see what develops is exactly what's going to happen. And that means that before they can do anything, their child has been victimized. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for our guest, Herb Sewell, coming up next. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Dr. Ron Turner. We're talking here with Herb about an aspect of Jessica's law in California that's been struck down. That law prohibited sex offenders from residing within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park where children gather. That has been ruled, I suppose, unconstitutional by a Superior Court judge. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming right back with Herb Sewell.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I heard about that. We're going to talk about it. On the line with me is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a man who does research for a number of universities, history departments, as well as civics departments. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about his past as a sex offender, a man who was incarcerated in a forensic hospital, as a matter of fact. So you were, Herb, I don't want to put any more prejudice than is necessary here, but it's what we used to call a hospital for the criminally insane, isn't it?
That would be correct. That would be accurate, Phil, yes. It was at one time. Forensic hospitals referred to that way. It's not the most accurate way of looking at it now, because you can't really say, yes, criminally insane is true in terms of did I know or did I not know that it was wrong to do what I was doing. Criminality in terms of the insanity of an individual means they didn't know whether it was right or wrong. I dare say there are a number of people at the forensic hospital at Tascadero and other places that were well aware of the fact that what they were doing was wrong.
But they did it anyway.
That is correct.
All right, we're talking to Herb, who was in for 8 years, about this sex offender law, Jessica's law in California. This law said that as a sex offender, you were not allowed to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. That meant that in the minds of the legislators who formulated this law, at least they would be away from children as registered sex offenders. And, oh, yeah, there's lots of kids in parks, lots of kids in schools.
Exactly, and they overstepped their bounds very clearly. And the Sex Offender League pointed this out to them.
Well, what do you mean the Sex Offender League pointed this out to them?
Well, through our attorneys, we pointed out that this is a completely asinine and unworkable aspect of the law. I have every right in the world, after I've registered as a sex offender, to purchase a home that is in keeping with my financial ability, and if it is near a park, it doesn't mean that I'm going to run over there and start to molest everyone that I see. Now, if there's a parent that is, take great exception to this, I would say to that parent then, get your child away from me. If you don't get the child away from me, then you should be subject to arrest. That is, what we feel, a very workable aspect of law, and one that we can live with.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here with Herb Sewell. We're going to take some phone calls. Here is Thomas. Thomas, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Phil. Herb, how you doing?
Yes.
I'm good, thank you.
My question to you, Herb, is basically, I'm a father of an abused child. But, you know, putting that aside, I'm not angry with you about that at all. But
I hope it wasn't me.
All right, let's not make the jokes, though, okay? I don't want to do any jokes.
I apologize.
No, it's cool. I mean, coming from you, that's to be expected. But anyway, basically, you know, my comment to you is...
Look, I'm trying to be friendly.
Let's let the gentleman talk. I don't want to get into a lot of crosstalk and personality talk here. Go ahead, Thomas, make your point.
Okay, well, anyway, basically the law is, 2,000 feet from a school, a park, where kids play,
yeah,
or, you know, it's in school.
It's part of Jessica's law, Tom. This is Phil. It's part of Jessica's law, which is a far more sweeping law than just that. But part of the law, part of it, was no residence within 2,000 feet of a park or schools.
Which, you know, in my opinion, should be a lot broader. You know, first of all, the question I have for him is, well, where are you from? I noticed you have an accent. Or where are you from?
I come from Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore,
from the East Coast. Yes, sir. I lived abroad briefly. I studied abroad, but I'm an American by birth.
Okay. Well, I noticed the accent. I was just curious as to where you originated from, I guess. But I can understand of an accent.
I have what some people describe as a mid-Atlantic accent. I did study not only in Great Britain, I studied in France for a period of time.
Okay.
I've lectured. I am a much more than just a sex offender. Unfortunately, that's the aspect of my life that is taken over.
All right, that, fine. That answers that question.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay, so...
Anything else?
In my opinion, this leak that you have is probably a good thing. You can, you guys who do your, whatever you do can get together and talk about, the things that you guys do. But that there should be...
Why don't I cut to the chase? Because I understand you're a little nervous. I'm going to live where I want to live, Thomas. The law is on my side here. Yes, it is. What it is, because it says that struck down that part. Now, I understand you not wanting your child near me. I totally understand that. I don't argue with that.
It's up to you to get your child
away from me. Yes, I do. If you don't want your child near me, then why would you have your child near me? All right. You move, or you keep the child away. And if you don't, you're arrested. I'm not arrested. You're arrested.
Well, actually, it's coming the other way around. All you have to do is move into a neighborhood where you're 2,000 feet within a school or a park, and I promise you, you will be arrested, not the child's parents, not the child.
No, because they struck down that aspect of the law. You don't understand. So
where did they strike? Where would they strike down this part of the law?
Are you kidding? Mr. Henry just read it to you. And it's in the California...
Don't worry about it. It's the California law, Jessica's law. And that was part of the law that a judge struck down.
Right. So now I can live within 2,000 feet of a school. I don't want to. I don't want to be harassed out of a neighborhood. So to put teeth into the law, what I say is this. If you're found to have children living near me, and it bothers you, then you're placed under arrest.
Then the parent is placed under arrest if it bothers them that you live near their kid.
That's exactly correct, because you've allowed yourself, you've told everybody where you live, near me.
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL, back with more.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I wouldn't do that, though.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video and audio of the show. Herb Sewell has joined me. Mr. Sewell is a... He, among many things, we are not just one thing. We are many things. When we look at our own lives, Mr. Sewell was at one time incarcerated for crimes against children and women at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital here in California. Now, he is out. He is a registered sex offender. He works telecommuting from where he is living now, a halfway house, correct?
That is correct, yes.
You, we're just looking at this law, Jessica's law, that today... There was a ruling made by a Superior Court judge saying that an aspect of Jessica's law, this is a law that is a law that deals with sex offenders.
And then, Phil, as a member, I am a member of the Sex Offenders League, and we're very familiar with the law. We don't ask to be consulted on anything. Of course, we're very, very interested in the ruling today.
Well, the ruling today says that one aspect of that is, I suppose, unconstitutional. He says sex offender parolees are forced to become homeless because of this law. So the ruling that says you can't live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or park is unconstitutional, and therefore he struck that down.
That is correct.
Now, you said that you're looking at a home or a townhouse?
There is a townhouse that I won't tell you where this is because I don't want to. And this is just to protect myself. It's to protect the individual selling the home. But there's a townhouse for sale now that I'm very much interested in. It's right across the street from a preschool. But it has attached parking, the homeowners association fees are reasonable, the commons are beautiful, well, very well kept, beautiful pool, two stories, there's a living room loft, and it is perfect for the kind of work that I do. Now, it is across the street from preschool. Because I'm a registered sex offender, individuals will know that I live there, concerned parents, so forth. If the parents are coming out of that preschool with their children in their ballerina outfits, shall we say, or they're coming out of the preschool with their children all in their little pink tights or whatever they wear, that's parading that right in front of me. Now, if you have a problem with that, then you'd have to say, I'm moving. If you make it known to me or known to the authorities that you've got a problem with me living there, now you're placed under arrest.
Why are they placed under arrest?
Because you brought your child knowingly near my house.
But the whole school's there.
No, you're not going to arrest every parent. If they keep their mouth, excuse me for saying this, if the parents are all right with me living there, I was going to say if they keep their mouth shut, but I don't want this to be contentious. If they're all right with me living there, and yes, on some level they keep their mouth shut, and they don't make life for me any worse than it's already been, then we live together in harmony. But if they make an issue of it, then you either get your kid out of the school, or you are placed under arrest in violation of the law. That is bringing your kid near a sex offender. You see, if I go near a kid, I get arrested. If the kid comes near me, the kid gets arrested. You can't arrest the kid, and that's what I wish I could do, but the parent then has to pay the price.
Oh, how are you going to arrest a little preschooler?
Some kind of an incarceration for the child, because the kid needs to learn, you know, if you want to educate, this is the best way to do it. Put that kid in jail for what he's doing.
Well, Herb, that's the first thing you've said on my program tonight that sounds a little weird, man.
No, there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah, it sounds very weird. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Julie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Julie. You're on with Herb Sewell.
I just had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You move into a neighborhood where there are already children there. There are already parents. There are already children. Why should the parent then be arrested just because they complain or they say something to the authorities about you living there? You know, they're concerned for their children. Why should they then get arrested when they may have been there for 20 years? I mean, you're the outsider.
I'm a registered sex offender. I've registered. I've done what the law asked me to do. Now I've moved into a neighborhood. Now these parents are saying that there's a risk to their child. Well, the law says that I have a right to live there. If you feel your child is at risk, then you've knowingly kept your child in an area where there is a sex offender, therefore you are in violation, it's a felony, and you go to jail.
Well, wait a minute. I think what Julie is asking is, you have a right to be there, okay, but the parents have a right to be there.
Right, but I'm not complaining about Julie. She's complaining about me. I'd say, well, why do you have your child near me? Well, I didn't know my child was going to be near a sex offender. Well, then it's all just keep quiet about it. I don't mean to say this to you, Julie, but in general, just shut up and don't say anything. Because the minute you do, now your kid's arrested, you're arrested, every kind of hell.
But it doesn't make any sense for you to be the one who's moving into the neighborhood for the person who's been there for years to be arrested when they haven't done anything wrong. I mean, they're trying to protect their children by going to the authorities and saying, look, you know, we're just concerned. We want to make sure that, you know, y'all are aware that he's here. You know, why should they be arrested for that?
Because I've already registered, so they already know that I'm there. And you, by going to them, you're bothering them, you know. I shouldn't say you're bothering them, but it's needless prattle, you know.
Well, what? I mean, if a parent, look, there's a sex offender on the street, I'm really nervous about this.
Right. And I say to you, say I'm the police officer.
All right.
And Mr. Henry, you know the sex offender has to register.
Yes, sir, I do.
Then why are you bothering me?
Why am I bothering you?
Well, who said that we were bothering you? I mean, you know.
Yeah, who said...
Well, I'm the police officer, okay?
Okay.
And you two come to me and you say that there's a sex offender on your street. And I say, yes, Julie, and yes, Phil, we know he's registered. And you say, well, it bothers us. And I say to you, you better just cut your losses, you know, quit while you're ahead and get out of here.
What does that mean, quit while you're ahead?
Because then I've got to arrest you.
For what?
Because you've got your children near a sex offender. Don't you understand? Isn't it about protecting children?
Yes.
Then why would you have your child near a sex offender?
I didn't know my child was near...
Well, now you do because he's registered. Now, get out of my precinct. I wouldn't say it like that, but I'm sure there would be some police officers that would be very short on patience and might say, get out of my precinct house and don't ever come in here again.
I mean, I think that they would have the right to say, okay, yes, you know... You've told us, you know, we are aware he is registered and stuff, but there's still no reason to arrest them. I mean, it's freedom of speech to say to someone, hey, you know,
we're
not comfortable with this.
But if you keep on talking about it and blah, 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 and I've got other things I've got to do, and I've got maybe a rapist on the loose, or I've got to go and, you know, do duty for a funeral, or get a cat out of a tree, or some ridiculous thing, and you keep bothering me, at what point do I just say to someone, would you put her under arrest?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I you're saying, okay, I understand sort of what you're saying. Julie, thank you for your call. Parents that keep bothering the cops about sex offenders who don't just move are causing the problem. I sort of understand. I don't get, you're making the parent the bad guy here. 877-876-PHIL, we're talking to Herb Sewell about Jessica's Law, which today in the state of California, a judge struck down an aspect of that, saying that the part of the law saying that sex offenders cannot live within 2,000 feet of a school or a park is unconstitutional. He said to keep a sex offender away from just about anywhere where there are children would make him homeless. And in point of fact, he said that there are a lot of these sex offense parolees who are homeless, or they just go back to prison. Because the law it gives them few housing options. And so the law was, at least that aspect, struck down by this one judge. 877-876-PHIL. Herb Sewell on the line with us saying that because of that, he can live where he wants. And if people are complaining about it, and you keep your child near him, then they're placed, you should be placed under arrest. Here is Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Herb Sewell. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm going to try to keep my cool here with this thing that you've got on the line here.
We're not going to get very far. We're not going to get very far with you talking like that. No, we're not going to get very far with you talking to me like that.
Well, listen.
You talk to me like that, and I'm not going to listen to you.
Well, I don't care.
You don't care?
What do you have this sex offenders league?
Where do you get
what exactly, what
telling
exactly,
me?
What?
All right, gentlemen, hold on, gentlemen.
Well, the guy calls me a thing.
All right, just chill out. Go ahead, Kevin.
Wow. My question to you is, your sex offenders league, what exactly do you guys do when you get together in your sex offenders league? Do you talk about... I mean, do you talk about who you molested or what? I'm just curious. I can't figure out what this sex offenders league thing is.
It's a group of men who were incarcerated for these crimes who share legal information, share information on housing, share information on rehabilitation, share information on hospitalization, insurance, and so forth. It's a way for these men to connect with others like them, whereby they are not tainting, if you will, the social atmosphere of wherever it is they are. And they're talking to people that understand them. I don't think it's unique in American society for individuals of unique experience to bond together. And this is the sex fest. And yes, we do sit around. We have a twice-a-year barbecue.
And you have a barbecue?
Yes.
Well, that's and what do you talk about at the barbecue?
We talk about what it was like in prison. Things like that.
But that's beside the point. The fact is that
why do you ask me about it?
Will you let the gentleman talk?
My two kids, my little girl and my little boy and myself and my wife have the legal right to go anywhere that we wish to. You, on the other hand, don't, okay? You have...
I didn't know you wanted the right to put your children in front of a sex offender. Why do you want the right to have your children living near a sex offender?
I would rather you live under a pile of garbage, as far as I'm concerned, in a landfill. That's where I'd love for you to stay. 2,000 miles, not 2,000 feet away from a playground or a school. People like you are a disgrace. You're telling me that I have to be arrested because I come around you? Val, I'll tell you what, if me and my children happen to be in your vicinity,
yes.
I'm going to tell you something, man. You even cut your eyes at my little girl and my little boy, and you're going to have to deal with me, and yeah, I will go to jail.
All right.
And guess what? So
you're going to parade your kid in her ballerina costume in front of my house because you think that's funny? Because you're getting your kicks that way, huh?
Wait a minute. He didn't say that.
Well, if he's got his kid in the school and he knows where I live, and he says, hey, here's my kid in a ballerina costume, what do you think, Herb? Wow.
My child has to go to school.
I don't know what to say about that guy. Huh?
My child can play wherever she wants to. And if scum like you come around my little girl or my little boy, you heard what I said. You need to walk away, pal. You need to walk away. I don't need
you
to
go anywhere. You want your kid playing in my front yard?
I haven't done anything wrong.
Okay.
I have not done anything wrong. You have, on the other hand.
According to the law, yes, you have. According to the law, you have, because you've decided that you want your kid playing on my front lawn. What kind of a weirdo wants to do that?
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He said, I know where you live, Herb, and I still want my kid walking by your house in a cowboy outfit.
I'm telling you, my kid don't have to. My kid can do anything she wants to do. That's what I'm saying. You, on the other hand, you have all the restrictions.
No, she can't. She can't smuggle heroin. Is your child allowed to smuggle heroin? No. Can you use your child to smuggle marijuana? No, you can't. And you should not be able to use your child as a way of provoking me in my brand new townhome with attached parking.
Well, that's you see, this is a conversation that's kind of squirrely, because what you're saying, Herb, is you're in a townhouse, you're across the street from a preschool, there's parents coming out with little kids, and they shouldn't be able to say a word about it, because then that lets people know that they've willingly put their children in front of a sex offender, and they get arrested.
Exactly. No, I think the time has come that the shoe be on the other foot.
Oh, I've ever heard in my life.
No, it isn't. It makes perfect sense if you think about it. We have a housing crisis in California right now. I'm willing to put down cash money on a brand new townhouse. Do you know that that guy would crawl across broken glass to take that deal? But he can't, because you, whatever your name is, Kevin, you don't want that guy to have the money because you won't be living in garbage.
Well, let's not blame Kevin. You're not going to put the real estate crisis on parents who are concerned for the safety of the children. Kevin, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Why did your voice sound all funny there?
What?
Your voice all went, it sounded hollow.
Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Herb Sewell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment on Jessica's Law.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Get control of your show, will you? Get control of your show.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I just found out that you had played football. I won't say the alma mater.
I would rather that you not.
But you did play football. You were a starting fullback, and you were a All-American?
That is correct. That is correct. 2 years, my junior and my senior year.
All right, Herb Sewell with us, our number 877-876-PHIL. Herb is a former... he was incarcerated for child molestation at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital in California. We're talking about Jessica's Law, a California law that made it illegal for sex offenders to live within 2,000 feet of a public or private school or a park. It has been that aspect of it, that section of it, has been struck down as unconstitutional. Herb is part of a group called the Sex Offenders League, where you say that you share information and you also have a barbecue.
We have a barbecue twice a year. Yeah, there's a group of us that sit down, and
these are all men who were incarcerated for the same thing.
That is correct. Yes, and we'll sit down there. I will never go back to my old way of life, nor will any of these guys. But there is a, how do I put this? The crime is horrible, but there is an art to it, and so you do sort of kick around back and forth. How did you get away with that? So on and so forth. It's interesting, but it is also, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds...
Believe me.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go up to a phone call here. Cheryl in Fresno, California, listening on KJZN. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hey, I was just
yes,
wondering,
ma'am.
You know, why... I mean... Okay, let me start this over, because I'm getting a little confused. He's a sex offender. He's obviously made the choice to do something wrong to a little child. I don't know what the age of the child was. But the thing
all
is...
All ages.
That's fine,
parents,
Herb. Thank you.
As parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and whatever, we are out here to stand up for our children to protect them from people like you. I don't know if you're going to go back to your old ways. There's nothing guaranteeing that you're not going to go molest another child.
No, trust me. Trust me when I tell you. No way.
But,
there's no
okay,
way.
You're saying no way, but how are us as parents going to understand you're living by a school, by children, by whatever? There's people out there that live life every day like a normal person, and we don't know if they're a sex offender or not.
Well, there's all kinds of people living there. There's children everywhere. Where do you live where there aren't children? Unless you buy yourself a farm, which I don't know about you, but the last time I checked my bank account, I can't afford that, or a ranch or something like that. So everywhere you live in the urban environment, you're going to be near a child. Now, if a parent is that concerned about the safety of the child, I've registered as a sex offender, then I would suggest they either move or risk arrest. I think it should be illegal to have your... It should be illegal for me to be near a child. If it's illegal for me to be near a child, then it should be illegal for a parent to have a kid that
goes
near
me. Why are we arresting the parents? Because we're out there protecting our children against sex offenders being around our children.
Well, why are you living there as a sex offender?
I'm sorry.
That's nuts.
Weren't out there protecting our children, then we should go to jail by all means. Because
exactly.
We're not out there trying to keep our kids from harm's way.
Right. So that's why you're going to jail.
Why
am I going
because
to jail? If
you're
I
going to jail because you're
children,
saying, hi, I have a kid here, and I know there's a sex offender there. And the police officer says, well, why is your kid here when you know there's a sex offender there? What do you say to that?
Well,
yeah, see, there's nothing you can
say. Children. Obviously, you guys have to register for a reason. There's a reason
right.
why you guys have to register. That's
right.
to let the people know. But how many people...
Exactly, so I let you know,
there's people out there that don't have the Internet. I don't have the Internet. I can't get on the computer and tell you how many people
You can get the Internet very easily. You can get the Internet for $30 a month. you know, so that's, I don't know what to tell you. Have you got a,
well,
have
I'm,
you got,
I'm disagreeing
do you have a cell
phone? I'm disagreeing because
me,
there's nothing
right.
saying in paperwork that
right.
I am not going to sex offend another child. You can
sex
go back.
Offend another. The Sex Offenders League, we guarantee in our league constitution that, well, it doesn't guarantee it, but.
Phil Henry.
Ron Tarner next.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com.